Welcome back to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Christopher Thornton. I am joined by my sick compadre, Zach Goodall. Zach, if you're alive, say something to the people.
Guys, if you saw me moaning and complaining about not being able to get chicken minis at 5 o'clock yesterday on Twitter, it's because I feel terrible and chicken minis help and you know it. So don't be so quick to judge.
Be sure to not piss off Zach about anything or else he will call your manager. So that's just your fair warning to everybody, including myself. He'll call my manager, which I don't know who that would be. But anyways, this is another episode of Locked On Jaguars Victory Week Jaguars podcast, Titans Hate Week podcast, whatever you want to call it. It's a Locked On Jaguars podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Google Play, Player FM, Stitched In, the Google Play Store. I think I already said that. We are everywhere. Anyways, we're going to get right into it. We are going to dive into the Pro Football Focus numbers of the podcast. We have some surprising numbers, honestly. When I saw some of these numbers, I was shocked. And I mean, Zach was posting a little bit about it on the timeline. I was posting a little bit on the timeline. Zach, do you have any numbers that really jumped out to you?
Dante Fowler, you know, we've all given him some crap in the past, and I still will hold true to my belief that he's not a really solid pure pass rusher, only because, and if you do go back and look at the film, there still isn't a lot of pass rush moves. He's got a couple that he holds on to, but he's not a Yannick Ngakoue, even though a lot of people like to think that he is or is on his way to being. He's just not the same type of guy. But I do have to give him credit where it's due. He put a lot of pressure on Brady in his limited pass rush snaps. He had 14 pass rush snaps out of 18 total in his first game back from a suspension and had 5 pressures on Brady, including the strip sack that probably saved Jacksonville the game. So he did come up big in a big moment, and I think that he deserves a ton of credit for that. And I think that a lot of the people that have doubted him, including myself, need to man up and say, like, yeah, that was a badass performance from Fowler on Sunday.
Yeah, Fowler's numbers definitely jumped out when I was kind of just breaking down. Like I said, had 5 pressures on 14, I think, pass rush snaps. So a pretty decently high percentage there. Another one, I mean, it doesn't come as a surprise as the performance really showed it, but Blake Bortles having a very Duval 90.4 offensive rating on the day. He was lights out, and the numbers back it up. Wasn't sacked at all. Didn't have any batted passes. That right there is just something.
But impressive.
Blake on 51 dropbacks had 45 attempts, 29 completions for a 64.4 completion percentage for 377 yards. An 8.4 yards per attempt for 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. Blake Bortles, the boat, was sailing away from the Patriots this week.
He really did come out firing, and we saw that. There was never a moment where he seemed uncomfortable. That interception to where he was targeting Austin Seferian Jenkins wasn't even Bortles' fault. Like, was Seferian Jenkins the best target on that play? Maybe not, because there were a couple of defenders right there. At the same time, at the end of the day, what did it hit? Austin Seferian Jenkins right in the hands. And it bounced up. Patriots made an athletic play. Dobin caught the interception. Not really that much of a thing you can pin on Blake, and more so just a fluky pick. So I'd really go as far as to say he had a perfect, perfect day. And I think that 90.4 rating, I didn't even know that that was a thing because I didn't look at his PFF stuff, because I don't check it for quarterbacks. I check it more for the pass rushers, the offensive linemen, stuff like that. But that's just about as perfect as it could possibly get.
And then one of Blake Bortles' favorite receivers on the day, Keelan Cole, had himself a day, had an 81.7 rating in coverage against Jason McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, and Eric Rowe. Had most of his yards against Eric Rowe, of which he had that ridiculous one-handed catch that made SportsCenter, I think he was number one on SportsCenter top 10, so getting some love there. But he was targeted 8 times against defenders. This doesn't include, obviously, I guess, rub plays, whatever. Nobody's really covering him. But Seven receptions on eight targets for 116 yards, averaged 16.6 yards per reception, had 37 yards after the catch, had a long of 24, and six of his catches resulted in first downs, one of which was a touchdown as well. So, very productive day from wide receiver one, Keelan Cole. Definitely a gem, a diamond in the rough. We found that out last year, but this year he's definitely putting it all on the table early into the season.
I remember skimming through the receiver grades when I was going through PFF when the grades came out. And one thing I did find interesting, and this is what I do remember seeing from Bortles, is not only that with Cole, but Dede Westbrook as well, Bortles had a perfect passer rating when throwing to both of them. I think there was one incomplete pass to both of them, but all in all, otherwise, 158.3, the highest passer rating you could possibly get. That was what Bortles had when he was targeting Cole and Westbrook.
Yeah, the passing game was definitely firing on all cylinders. The rushing game didn't really, I mean, they were getting all their yards to the air, so why stop doing something that worked? The running game had 74 total yards, TJ Yeldon having 58 of those yards. Blake Bortles had 35, had a few big first downs with those spin moves, getting the defense hype, getting the crowd hype. Putting his head down with a possible concussion. I'm surprised he didn't get pulled off the field for that.
That play was – when he got up and yelled, let's go, or no for missing the first down, or whatever it looked like, because I've seen multiple things that people have said, I thought he was screaming in pain, man, because yeah. I know I would be. I thought his neck would have been, like, pushed back. Like, that was a big hit. You could hear that clear as day on the TV.
Yeah, that was, like, one – he kind of got up and he was kind of just as helmet's like, oh, God, this guy's concussed. He's done. But he got back in, finished that game. The Jaguars' offense through 2 weeks has 51 points. So, you know, they're putting up a decent amount of points through the first 2 weeks. We'll see if that continues this week against the Titans. But one of the reasons for the Jaguars' offensive success is the offensive line. And the Jaguars lost Cam Robinson this week. And coming in is backup tackle Josh Wells. And after the break, we will dive a little bit more into what Josh Wells does well and doesn't do well. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Zach, so you broke down Josh Wells this week. I'm going to let you be the Josh Wells expert on this segment. Give me some points on what Josh Wells does well and what he doesn't do so well.
Jesus Christ. Well, I say that for two reasons. One, because quite the pun. Also, you're making me talk way too much here, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm just kidding. I like to think I'm the expert, so I'll go ahead and pretty much get to the main points of the article I did breaking down Josh Wells. If you want to see the actual film room, be sure to check that out at LockedOnJaguars.com. It is the top article on the website right now. got 6 or 7 different plays in there of the All 22 film from Josh Wells. So he appears in his fifth year as a Jaguar to have really developed as a run blocker. And you can see that a mix of actually being able to lay some pretty solid blocks and open holes for TJ Yeldon. There were back-to-back plays where Yeldon ran at Wells or in between Wells and Norwell, and Wells had a key part in opening the hole that went for 15 yards and then 20 yards back-to-back. And I think a lot of that is mental. There were plays where he was able to, you know, switch block guys he was blocking with Norwell almost seamlessly, pick up on combo blocks pretty effortlessly. He was just quick to recognize what was in front of him when he was blocking against the run. That's something that's important, especially when Fournette does come back, because this still is a run heavy scheme. They were able to change things up against the Pats without Fournette, but when Fournette comes back, I think we'll see a lot more dependability on the run game. Wells being solid at that's going to be huge for when he is in, you know, blocking for Leonard Fournette. As a pass protector, that's where things get a little shaky. Going back to Pro Football Focus, he allowed 7 pressures in just over 3 quarters in the game against the Patriots. He has a big amount on his career. I'm trying to find where he has 28 pressures in 34 career games, including 18 last year while he was playing both left and right tackle during the year in 11 games. He struggles when he's on an island, especially when he's facing speed guys. When he's facing power guys, he's a little bit better because he just isn't quick enough physically to react to speed rushers. But power rushers, he can take them on as a big-bodied guy. I think he's like 6'6", 315, something in that range. But when he is double teaming or when he's working together with interior offensive line help against the pass rush, much like Norwell, he does a lot better. There was a play where the Patriots stunted, I believe it was Patrick Chung and Adrian Claiborne, or maybe it wasn't Patrick Chung. Maybe it was someone else. Regardless, there were 2 pass rushers coming at Norwell and Wells, and they were able to just effortlessly switch responsibilities on the stunt. Absolutely no pressure to Bortles whatsoever. He completed a pass to Dante Moncrief on the play. And when you go back and watch it, that's one of the plays that gives you hope for what Wells can do in replacing Robinson. And I think the most important thing is that Marone has come out and really backed Wells. And he said it in his press conference on Monday that he doesn't view anyone on this roster as a backup. He doesn't want to have backups on this roster. It's a mentality thing. And then he came out and specifically said he believes that Wells is up for the challenge. He thinks he's going to do fine. He's confident in putting him in. I think that's really important for Wells himself to hear, as well as to know that, hey, the head coach of the team, who is a former offensive lineman and offensive line coach, has a lot of faith in the guy that's coming in to replace Cam Robinson. So definitely something to watch going forward. Like I said, if you want to catch the film breakdown, check that out over at LockedOnJaguars.com.
So you mentioned Josh Wells had 7 pressures during the game on only 62 passing snaps. That's kind of bad if you really kind of dive into the numbers. What do you think Josh Wells can do to kind of improve on that and maybe cut down on some of those pressures that he's allowing?
Well, I think that the Jaguars are going to have to scheme it up really well, because when Norwell was offering him help and they were kind of not necessarily double teaming guys, but he was getting like kind of sliding outside a little bit to help him, Wells looked a lot better. He's in his fifth year. You know, he's been here the entire time. He's worked with Marone for what, like 4 years now, like going on his fourth year. So, you know, considering he's this far into his career, been in the same system for a long time, I'm not sure how much better he really could get at that. So it's going to be something the Jaguars need to, you know, scheme around, to let Norwell slide his way a little bit and, you know, let him take on guys that are more powerful rather than speedy. If you see that matchup, then you might not need to scheme it that way. But if you see from the tape that they like to line their speedier guys, this being any opponent, they like to put their speed guys over more on the left side than the right. Or if you see teams starting to target that side with their speed rushers, you need to really be schematic with that. And that's something I'm confident that they're able to do, because we saw bits and pieces of it during the Patriots game itself. So we'll have to see. That's something that I'm sure I'll be looking into as the season goes on with Wells in there at left tackle.
And I mean, schematically, I mean, I just want to give some quick praise to Nathaniel Hackett for calling probably his best game of his NFL career. That was a masterpiece. They kept the foot on the gas almost the entire way. Called some beautiful plays for Blake Bortles in this offense, and things were really kind of firing on all cylinders with Hackett this past Sunday.
I definitely agree. Someone, I think it was Tony Romo, said on the broadcast that Todd Wash is going to be the NFL's next great head coach. While that may be true, it wouldn't shock me if within the next 2 years, both Hackett and Wash are head coaches, like, at all.
And at this point, I'm more scared of losing Hackett than I am Wash, because, I mean, Blake finally has some continuity under Hackett, which I think is a better – is a bigger component for this team being successful than Wash with this great defensive core.
And that's just the reason why I think that Hackett actually might get a lot more offers than Wash, maybe early on, as early as this offseason, because people, if, let's say Jacksonville wins this thing and Bortles keeps playing like he did on Sunday throughout the rest of the year, the narrative going around is, holy hell, Nathaniel Hackett fixed one of the worst quarterbacks in the league for the past couple of years. And that'll make him a hot commodity. There are going to be teams that need coaches, and there are going to be teams that want offensive-minded coaches, because isn't that the way the league's going, that they seem to want these offensive-minded coaches? In which case, I think Hackett could actually end up being a hot target this coming offseason, which, like you said, might suck with the continuity that Bortles has with Hackett. But at the same time, maybe you promote the quarterback's coach, Scott Milanovich. I can't really pronounce his last name. It's like Canadian. But maybe you promote a guy from in-house that can try and keep things going, because at the end of the day, I do think Hackett will end up being a target.
Yeah, and do you think that Shad Khan and the front office maybe offers Hackett and Wash a little more money to maybe keep them in? So I know the Patriots, to keep Josh McDaniels, they actually bumped his salary to give him kind of first-time head coach money as an offensive coordinator. Do you think Khan and company maybe does that to keep Hackett and or Wash in the building as well?
I think they'd have to, and I don't – forgive me for not understanding it completely, but I don't exactly know where the money comes from to pay coaches in comparison to paying players. It's a totally different thing. But if that's money coming from Shad Khan's pocket, like Shad Khan has put some of his own money into – the signing of players with, you know, front loading things and the signing bonus, that is where Khan can step in. But if he's in control of paying the coaches, like, I don't see a way that he wouldn't do that, because I think he really likes what he has here. I think he wants the continuity because he sees his business model growing, and it's all because they're winning. So I don't think there's any way that he'd just willingly let them go just yet, at the very least. So I think that's something that he would probably step in and do.
All right, so through 2 weeks, the Jaguars' offense has been booming, but how has their play had an effect on fantasy football? We'll talk about that after the break. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand-name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is Swap.com. The world's largest consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price off your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Special offer to our listeners. Get 35% off select items with your first order with the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. That's SWAP.com, promo code locked on. So when the offense is booming, that means people are scoring, and surprisingly, it's been mostly the offense and only one score from the defense. So through 2 weeks, the Jaguars have put up 51 points, which means those points got to come from somewhere. One of the leading fantasy scorers has been Keelan Cole and Blake Bortles. Zach, has there been anybody that's really popped out at you for fantasy football wise on this Jaguars roster?
If you asked me a year ago if I thought Bortles would be a leading fantasy quarterback, I'd probably laugh at you. Not because I don't think he's capable of it, because he proved that he was a couple years ago when he was near the top of the league, but just because what they're doing with the scheme and what they want to do with running the ball so much that I just didn't think the volume would be there for him to put up great numbers. He's currently the 7th ranked quarterback in fantasy football per ESPN at 24.4 points, and I don't really see that changing as of right now. I think he will continue to build on the performance that he had week 2 with 34.6 points against the Patriots, especially with some, you know, not too great defenses coming at him. The Titans have a decent defense. I think it's a game where they're going to really be able to tire out the Titans defense because of their offensive situation, in which case Bortles will just be able to start putting points up. Who do they play week 4? The Jets. I'm sick, guys. I don't really think that the Jets will cause too much of a problem for him. They have pretty much zero pass rush. The Chiefs also don't have a really good defense. I mean, they're whooping people on with their offense, but their defense is giving up a ton of points. So I think Bortles might be a smart pickup if you're streaming quarterbacks right now. If he's currently available in your league, I say you take a chance on him.
Yeah, if I didn't have Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers, I would be definitely considering getting Blake Bortles in our fantasy league. However, I'm pretty content at my quarterback position right now, especially at how high I always draft Aaron Rodgers. Fantasy football haters, you can enter my mentions now. But I will give you just what I always tell people, that Aaron Rodgers is my QB1 fantasy football and always. But if we don't have much left to talk about fantasy football-wise, that should be just about do it for this episode of Locked On Jaguars. You can always follow me on Twitter at MistoCristofo. You can follow Zach at Zach_Goodall. And, of course, the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars, where we're pumping out content left and right. All of our writers, our team just seems to be getting bigger. We always kind of dump all this stuff onto there so you can find it in one confined space. Be sure to leave ratings and reviews where you can. Listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher, Google Play Store, wherever you can find a podcast. Rate and review, and be sure to subscribe to us. That way you never miss an episode. Listen to us on your way to work, on the way from work, taking a walk around the neighborhood, on the way to the stadium, wherever you need to burn time and listen to your favorite Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. That should be us, Locked On Jaguars. We will catch up with you guys later to talk more about Titans Hate Week.